Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Oh, it's so good to welcome you back, Sonia. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Dorothy and the Dealer. Mm-hmm. How are you going? It's been, lots been happening, right?
Yes. I'm good. You? Thanks for having me back.
Oh, our pleasure.
Yeah. I'm excited to have you on my podcast. Oh,
yes, right. I know. Yeah. We haven't set a date just yet because we're chock-a-block. But yes, we'll be
I don't know whether we're going to be able to fit her in.
Oh, I think we will.
I will have to come back to you when I'm available.
No, maybe I'll come back to you when I'm available.
So I'm going to give you a second to think about a song because I think let's just think about something that you, jam into at the moment. But while I'm doing that, we have already spoken. You've been a guest on Dorothy and the Dealer before and I know that today we're probably not going to go along the path of what got you to us in the first place. So if anybody who's listening wants to hear that, they can go and listen to the previous episode because we're going to go down different rabbit holes today.
Bring it on.
All right, so tell me a song, something that you like at the moment or something.
Yeah, well, I think when I think about my book launch, it's that even though like, okay, well, when we talk about certain characters in Hollywood, but the song I Was Here by Beyoncé, because for me it was the words of the song that is very much to do with my legacy that I want to leave behind. So yeah.
Sing.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
A little bit.
I was here. Do you know that? Oh man.
No.
I was here. Anyway, are you playing it?
Have we got him?
Are you playing it? Yeah. That song. Thank you, Gabby.
Oh.
This is the song. I'm not fucking singing.
Yeah.
I'm a woman of many talents, but voice. I think I'm great when I'm at 2 a.m. on karaoke when I've had loads of drinks, which I don't drink anymore.
Well, you don't drink anymore. We just found out. That's awesome.
So how is life? So baby is sleeping, you said to me when you came in.
Yeah. Well, I don't let it go, didn't I?
Yeah. Back well, Finnegan is a great kind of experience.
Well, yeah, there's certain things you can give kids, but for me, I'm very much alternative when it comes to what I give the kids.
So weed, you just blow her up with some weed?
No, not exactly. I think it's about being present, you know.
Edibles.
No, Mitch.
Here, sweetie,
calm
have
down,
this
and
heart.
All these disclaimers have to happen now.
Sorry. Absolutely. Okay. We can go there. We can go to all the things about what I give my kids and what I don't give my kids.
So
we can go down that rabbit hole if
you
want to.
Do you remember
as well.
When you first came on? Sage was already with us when you.
No, she
wasn't. She was pregnant with Sage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Such a great name, Sage. It's good
Sage,
name.
Yeah. I like the way you've spelt it as well, with the I in it, not just...
Do you know that the spiritual meaning of sage means wisdom and healing?
Wisdom and healing, there you go.
And then willow, the spiritual meaning of willow is resilience.
Really?
And then the front of the book is a willow tree.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It's all coming together.
Yeah.
So since we've spoken to you on the podcast, you've had two little girls and... The book that you've just – how long has the book been released now?
It hit bookshelves on 30th of April and then we had the book launch party 25th of May.
So it's been a while.
About a month.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it's kicking ass, I hear.
It is, yeah. No, I'm very, very blessed. But I wasn't ever attached to the outcome of how good the book was going to do in the charts or anything like that. It, to me, it was
Your
more
nose
about
just got bigger when you said that.
No, I know. I actually –
Says your man. You know you want to take credit for the book as well.
No, I didn't. So what made you want, because obviously there was the fertility journey leading up to Sage in the first place and that's when we would have got to in the last podcast.
Yeah.
So now you've got two little girls Earthside. Did you want to what was the purpose of writing the book in the first place? Was it the purpose to share your story? What was the purpose of it? Like, what did you want to achieve?
It was my legacy piece. You know, when I met with you guys back in 2020 and then we went and done all of the different seminars with you guys, and then it was a case of STP when we were talking about legacies and the impact that we want to leave on the world.
Yeah.
And your vision board workshop that I did years ago as well. Like I always kind of had on my vision board that I wanted to write a book. But also another part of that was the commitment I made to myself in 2020 when we were going through that really, really tough time in fertility. And we had just had a failed IUI cycle in the clinic. And I said to myself, you know, if I ever have the honor of bringing my girls or bringing a baby outside, I'm going to make a commitment to myself and write about my story openly.
Yeah.
So I started writing my book about 4 years ago. So everyone thinks now that, like, oh my God, she just had a baby and she wrote a book. That didn't happen.
Yeah, it's a process.
It's been a 4-year process. Mm-hmm. And the process of writing the book is the easy part. The marketing behind the fucking book nearly fucking broke me. The thing is, right, you're a marketer. If you can't market your own book, you're a fucking seriously bad shit marketer. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, there's a bit of pressure then, isn't
there? Massively so. So, yeah. So, like, honestly, it's just been a commitment to honour the journey I've been on, because I feel like I was the type of person that always learned lessons the hard way. So I was like, do you know what, if I wrote this book, it could be that guidebook to help people withstand life's toughest challenges so they don't have to learn the hard way like I did. Mm-hmm. And yes, the book is about fertility, but it's also about building the business. And it's also about the imposter syndrome, the mindset that I had coming from Ireland, moving to Australia. It's also about plant medicine. Mm-hmm. It's also been about the choices that I've made in motherhood because of all the work that I've been exposed to by work that I've done with yourselves, but other people as well, and just everything that I've learned about who this warrior Sonia is. I genuinely believe that there's a warrior inside of everybody, mm-hmm. that's waiting to be unleashed, but some people don't step up to the challenge because of conditioning or for fear of standing out or for fear of you know, looking like the odd one out. But I think what you guys also taught me years ago is that we're all meant to be different and we need to embrace who we are. And I think the first time I did an SCP with you guys was all about, like, you blew my mind about systems and about how, you know, the schooling system, we're all conditioned to be all the same, and the people that do stand out are reprimanded. And in order to be successful in business, you fucking have to stand out. You have to be different. And I always remember, I don't know if you don't remember, we did SCP. Was it actually just when I had my embryo transfer with Willow? And remember, there was that where we had everybody lining up being attracted to certain characteristics in a person. And there was one thing that you said to me, Mills, is like, you need to own this part within yourself that people want to work with you because of who you are, not because of what you do. And that was like a massive flip the script, really, in my mind, that I was like, oh, I'm really not owning all the parts of myself. But I also don't feel like I have everything worked out either. I'm constantly a work in progress. Like,
Are. I actually have worked everything out. So that's just basically why people come and see us. But it's funny. We did a podcast just lately on NPCs.
Non-playing characters.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were just talking about the fact that there's some people in the world that, they look for total outer influence of the tribe to be able to be their mind. So their mind is actually something that is outside of them. So they have no mind. They have no sense of self. Mm-hmm. And anything that questions that narrative of relying on media, pharmaceutical companies, the narrative through education, da-da-da-da-da. And anything that questions that suddenly questions the person. Now, not everybody goes through that experience of something happens one day that makes you realize, oh fuck, these people were lying. Mm-hmm. And then it questions everything. And the reason people like defend to the death the narrative is because they identify with it. And if this is not true, then I'm going to die.
You lose your identity. So it's easier and more
cognitive dissonance.
So subconsciously it's easier to trust that herd rather than to trust your individual state.
And even when the state is telling you, oh, sorry, we lied to you, they still fucking don't want to, you know, they still, okay. So then, but in terms of what you're talking about, when a person does question, you know, it's terrifying for a person because it is a lonely experience. You're about to leave that whole tribe. Absolutely. And, you know, as I say to people all the time, eagles fly alone. And you're going to leave that tribe and you're going to go inside yourself, and it's going to be lonely in there. Plus, you're probably going to get ridiculed, slammed, beat up, put down, questioned. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to question yourself, am I losing my mind? Mm-hmm. But in actual fact, you're gaining your mind. You're becoming inwardly fluent, outwardly influential. Mm-hmm. People will start to look up to you. But because we're not there yet, we still question ourselves along the way of the journey. Mm. But the questioning is so important, because the questioning of yourself is where you get the real answers. When you're in an echo chamber of people telling you how you need to think, you're fucked. Mm-hmm. So there are people in this world who that will never happen for.
Yeah.
And there's people in this world who it does happen for, mm-hmm. who you have, you go through, and you get the choice. You can mm-hmm. either ignore that and keep being outwardly influenced but feeling inwardly lost, or you can be inwardly fluent, outwardly influential, mm-hmm. and that's when everything turns around. And absolutely. I think that that's really what happened, you know, for any the three of us sitting here at this table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. we went, okay, I don't want to be outwardly influenced. I don't trust what I'm seeing happen. Something doesn't
fit. Well, I trust
fit.
Myself more than trust that, I God. Think. Yeah. And I think you were saying about, you know, I think when we got in trouble, you were actually talking about the fact that you are making different choices around mm-hmm. how you're parenting mm-hmm. the kids, you know, because yeah. we were talking about the different systems.
Yeah.
Those different systems are, you know, school. I was actually talking to someone last night about school and how it's likened to a prison. You know, you sit in a chair, you sit mm-hmm. in a cell, the bell rings, then you're allowed to go outside. And it's not,
controlled.
It's all set up in a certain mm-hmm. way. So so was that a process for you of yeah. understanding, like of, I don't know, what started that process? Was it mm-hmm. the work with us? Was it, did you already have an inkling and then this kind of consolidated, or what was it that sort
you know
of made
I think
you
it's like everything happens in divine timing, and I know that sounds cliche, but like when I met you guys in 2020, I was really still quite lost. I was beginning my awakening journey really, because I met the whole Juice Plus community about 12 years ago. So that's kind of where the spiritual like journey started, really,
right.
about me being a bit more curious. Because I don't know if anyone agrees with me, but like in WA, I find where we are, the land and the people here are a lot more awake, really, than even probably people in other states. Like I just find that there's a very much high vibe people that live here in WA. Mm-hmm. So when you have like certain conditioning that's running through your mind about this is how I should be, this is how I should be, but when you constantly land on your arse for decisions and choices that you make, you kind of have to stand back and analyze the patterns and things. I'm like, okay, well, if I do this, where else has this pattern showed up? Has it been a workplace? Had it been a relationship? Had it been in friend situations? And like take a hard look at the part you're playing in those circumstances. That was very much what was happening in my life, but then along came the fertility journey that really was the catalyst to be like, if you want to be a mom, like you really have to really address this shadow, you know. So that was where like the fertility journey was a catalyst to really blowing up my life positively with the business by being the warrior that I am, because my greatest goal in life was always to be a mom. So that far exceeded my need to do well in business, mm-hmm. you know, for worthiness or anything like that. For me, it was like I was always destined to be a mom. So like when I then have been stopped in my tracks, and then the work that you guys started introducing both Kevin and I to, that was where that deeper level of questioning came, like yep. intuitively. And like, you know, I just think that it happened at probably one of the most pivotal times of my life, but also one of probably the most pivotal times in the history of the planet in the last decade. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I met you guys really at the cusp of COVID. It was like COVID. I met you guys January 2020 and we were full-blown COVID February, March, you know, and that was where, you know, all of our questioning around to take the jab, not take the jab, all the things, you know, that was where, like, I can't actually thank you guys enough to really have had that supportive community about like, wait now, watch what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen next. And like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, you know, my family, you know, like everyone's getting jabbed, you know, as in like, it was so easy for a lot of people to just play along with that narrative. It was very, very hard to take your control back and actually ask what really is this all about, and watch the chaos and watch the noise and stand back and look at it from another angle.
Yeah, and watch it unfold. Like having understanding that you're sovereign, that you don't need to do that. If you choose to do that as a sovereign individual, absolutely no problem.
Yeah.
But don't get pulled into it if you can, if you are aware enough.
Yeah.
And then watching it unfold from a perspective of that observer rather than being pulled and pushed.
Yeah, and not being pulled into the chaos. And I think the important thing that you've mentioned there is choice. And like, do you remember the times when I was getting so triggered? I'm like, fucking everybody needs to stop fucking wake up and all that. And you were like, you need to like really balance your lopsided perceptions on this. Yeah. It doesn't matter if people were to get the job or not to get the job. It was the power was in where their choice lied. And for me, I had to get to a point where I had to realize and accept that everyone's on their own spiritual journey. So whether it is the jab or whether it is anything else that happens in their life, like their soul chose that path, you know, and no matter what I say or do is not going to change that. And I also remember, I think I was at one of the first seminars, and you know when you start getting on the personal development journey, you start fucking telling everyone,
you need to do this and you need to do that, and I know what I'm talking about.
Nobody wants to be preached on, no. And I was that person that was like, you need to just do this. You know? And for me, I was like, oh, wow, that you actually just need to be the best version of yourself, to inspire everybody else around 100%. You to ask the question.
Yeah, but yeah. That's like, part, that's
what
just
the fucking Kool-Aid are you drinking? Yeah, I would drink the Kool-Aid too, you know? Sing kumbaya together.
What have you smoked? But I think
that's or whatever plant medicine you do.
That's just par for the course of anybody. It's very normal that people go through that. And as much as I try to say it to the clients all the time, you know, you're going to go through this phase where you're going to want to fix everybody, you know, and all they're going to hear is that they're broken, and you just have to understand that. And that's a natural part of us working with you. You will naturally go through that. That will naturally occur. Mm-hmm. And then you'll naturally come out the other side and start to realize, ah, we lead by example. I've got to be the greatest example of me that I possibly can be with what it is I'm learning here. And the only way to do that is you have to implement it into your life. Mm-hmm. You actually have to embrace the new life, the new behavior, and you have to embrace the relationship that you're building with yourself, because you have a self and you have a little you in there, and you have a little person in there that's trying to navigate through the world. And everybody was just trying to do the same thing. Everybody was just trying to live. Mm-hmm. You know? And no greater way to be able to capture people than to tell them they're going to die. Mm-hmm. And you know, so I think everybody was fighting for the same cause, but just doing it in their own way.
It divided the planet. I think that's important. And I think that that's something that you guys share massively in SCP as well. Like, we need to get to the point as well, knowing that we are so much more powerful when we all come together and we are all one, and that nobody is better than the other. No, like the pedestalizing of people, putting people on pedestals and themselves in pits and all that. But like, when we get to that state of equilibrium, you know, that is where the true power lies in humanity as a race, you know, as in like, this is what we're here to do. So like, and I think that that was what the biggest, like, goal was, to divide the planet in two, because there was, you were either for or against, but like, you know, you take the blue, you take red, but it's kind of, well, once you have your choice, but at the same time, it's like, we just need to get back to being,
I think, what everyone forgot at that moment is that everybody did and chose what they chose because they thought it was going to be the best thing for them, for the most part.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the people who chose to vaccinate thought it was going to be the best. Mm-hmm. And the people who chose not to thought it was going to be for the best. And you will have a few people that were convinced one way or the other. But for the most part, that's why they did it. And to try and say that we're different when we're just making different choices, but we're actually the same in essence, is what actually divided us. Do you know what I mean?
But I think, you know, we use the great statement all the time of the precursor to transformation is chaos. But I think the world is a very different place now, as opposed to how that happened. We have definitely woke up. Like, if I'd have been talking about, in terms of getting onto plant medicines, if I'd have been talking about that, like, in 2020, you know, the media would have had a fucking field day with me. They would have just come after me, fucking hammer and thongs, pitchforks, you name it. This bloke is promoting blah, 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 and he's doing it on a podcast. But now, when what I see with the community itself, because there's a huge plant medicine community here, it's very, very big. And now what I see with that movement is it's becoming more and more and more socially accepted. The more people, I sit around with groups of people I've never met before, and within an hour you'll have met three or four people that have gone and had an experience, you know. So there is a massive repercussion of and part of that repercussion of what happened is people are going back inside of themselves and starting to listen to themselves and find ways of to understand their energy, you know, because it's all about the relationship you have with your energy.
Absolutely.
You know, people don't understand that you are energy. And if you understand that you are energy, okay, you're just oscillating and you're vibrating into this form of a human being. but you are the purest form of energy. And when you start to build a relationship with your energy and you understand its relationship with the world, you're able to understand then that, the whole world is just a manipulation of your energy. Mm-hmm. We're all just energy manipulators, mm-hmm. and we're trying to, with what we manipulate, we're just trying to do the best that we can to leave the place better in terms of the model that when we walked in here, or turned up here. And I think that ultimately, innately, no matter what happens, the fight between what people call good and evil doesn't really matter. Mm. What matters is that you've got to get to the end of your life and look back on what happened and know that you made a difference. Yeah. In some way. Yeah. And I think your book is a great way to do that.
So, Sonia, tell us how the plant medicine journey sort of participated. Like, what role did it have? What made you go down that path? And what? How did it impact you and you know, your journey?
Yeah. Just how fucked up did you get?
Well, you know, firstly, I think I do want to start that unless you're really willing to face a shadow within yourself, you're not ready, because the parts of yourself that need your love will scream at you. They won't just whisper at you. So, like, unless you are on a path of self-discovery already and you're doing some deep healing work yourself, I don't think that you're ready. Like, I think for me, meeting you guys, when I met you guys, started that spiritual awakening journey to put me on my path. And the stuff that you guys spoke about in theory was really that foundational piece to then when I faced those shadows. You know, you can't unknow what you know when you do a plant medicine trip. Mm-hmm. Like, you will see fucking everything that you've never thought was there. The deepest demons that you've buried will come up and fucking scream at you. So for me, having that baseline education of what really the world was about and what the universe was trying to show me and what the world was trying to show me gave me that level of comprehension and readiness that I wouldn't have. I probably would have ended up in that victim state and probably paralyzed by what I'd seen, like, if I didn't understand.
Look, I'm 100% with you. So one of the things I feel with plant medicine is that everything in my experience, there is a limited amount of work that goes into the integration piece.
Absolutely.
And so for me, as much as the plant medicine is phenomenal, like, the experience is phenomenal, if I hadn't done this work as a background, I think it would have left me with more questions. I don't have the perspective of not having done this work. Yeah. So I think even though you do see things and you see that there's another side and that it's not, that we're not this, you know, I feel like it would have left me with more questions. It possibly would have left me more confused. The fact that I had my own understanding and my own baseline, for me, I feel like it was absolutely imperative in my own integration because, like you said, I already had the experience of understanding that shadow side, or understood that I wanted to see and learn more about myself. And had I not had that, I think the plant medicine wouldn't have had the, not saying it wouldn't have been good, but I think you really have to be very mindful about how you integrate.
You do. And I also think, like, I've been very open about plant medicine. Like, I had an article in the Daily Mail this year, and honestly, I've been inundated by people that asked me for who did you do it with, who did you do. I'm like, oh, come here.
Come on over to my place on Friday night.
No, well, firstly, I think we need to also talk about the importance of it being in a ceremony setting. Yeah. Like, doing it recreationally and around with people and friends is just not the same thing of doing it with a trained specialist that trained for 10 years in the Amazon. Yeah. Like, I don't know, take it as you will. Like, I do believe it needs to be intention-based, and I think you do need to have an intention behind what you want to get out of the trip, because I also feel it can crack you open to be very vulnerable and you can take on other people's stuff. Like, me and Kevin did a trip together with our, to be, not to be named, medicine person. And then, you know, like, I remember even being in that trip with Kevin being there, and I was more worried about how he was responding because I was taking on his stuff.
Are you okay, Kev?
But no, like, there is that level of deep reverence that is needed to really... It is very easy to try and escape the stuff that you don't want to see by distracting yourself. But when you're with a trained specialist, they will get you to face the shadow head on, because there is nowhere to run when it is just you and your intention and you, what's going on within your own body when you're on the altered state. But back to what I was saying.
Hold on, can we double back on that for 2 seconds?
Remember, do you remember what you're going to come back to?
I'm trying to remember what it was.
How much coffee have you had? It was. So I had obviously lots of drug experiences throughout my 20s.
Likewise.
And I did a lot of LSD and I did a lot of MDMA. And so when I went into it, I didn't want to have that experience. I was very clear. Mm-hmm. This is what this is. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking not interested. Mm-hmm. I've done enough drugs to sink a ship. And so they were like, no, it's not like that at all. And so I think there's going and doing it, setting your intention, having a proper facilitator with you, knowing what is the right dose for you, what isn't, going through the whole experience. Mm. But if I go back to when I was having my drug experience, you know, at the same time that I was having my drug experience and using LSD in my 20s, I was also studying metaphysics.
Mm-hmm.
I was also studying. So one of the things I would say to people that are considering doing it, from my perspective, is you got to wait until you're called three times.
Absolutely. The call of the forest.
Yeah. And then what I would recommend also is start to study a little bit about energy and metaphysics and start to read about those things, because that's what you're going to experience. You're going to have that experience as you go through the medicine itself. And it's good to have had. So I just felt very blessed because I had a huge insight and understanding of how energy works, and understanding of, you know, through my teachers, of what the universe was and how it all ticked. And so that really helped a shitload.
Yeah.
Whereby if people don't, there is no mistakes. Mm-hmm. There's just no mistakes. However it rolls or unfolds for you is however it unfolds for you. Mm. But if I was to give people a tip, it would be,
read my book.
Okay. Read Resilience. It would be definitely study research a little bit and do a bit of research on what energy is, because that's what you are going to experience. You're going to experience your energy and your connection to energy and your connection to the infinite, and you're going to be everything all at once, just in this space of just absolute
Absolutely.
And you got to understand what that is. And that is a very real thing. Otherwise, you may just think it's just an experience that you had through the experience.
Absolutely. And you're so right. And anyone that's ever come to me thinking, you know, plant medicine, and I want to do that, and I'm like, no. Probably go see Mitch. Or there's lots of documentaries on Netflix around plant medicine as well. Mm-hmm. Fantastic Fungi. There is what is it? The Healing Trip by Gwyneth Paltrow's.
Also, The Last Shaman is a great.
The Last Shaman, yeah. That's another example, one. Yeah. So I think if people build enough intrigue within themselves, that when they do, they get the call of the forest, they know that's that right time. And look, let's talk about the call of the forest. For me, I was at a backyard barbecue with Laura Marr, and there was a guy there. There was a guy there talking about this trip that he was doing, and it was this energy, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. And this is September 2020, it was, and we just had a failed IUI cycle in the clinic. And again, I wasn't pregnant.
Had you not done any LSD or anything?
Never.
That?
No, I've done MDMA and I had done ecstasy, coke, all the things back in the day, the rebel I was. But I never dabbled with hallucinogenics because I was terrified because of hallucinating.
Because you're already mental.
But no, I just, again, surrendering control has been my ultimate lesson in life. But
I don't know anything about that for myself personally.
But the backyard barbecue, honestly, was my call of the forest. And it was I kept asking, I've done all the things and what the fuck? And I've walked across fucking fire to Tony Robbins and I didn't get burnt. I've done all the seminars and I'm still not fucking pregnant. What the fuck is next? So the backyard barbecue was really my call of the forest, where I heard this guy talking about this level of calmness that come over. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I was like, gave me this person's number. So I'd done my first trip, October 2020. I did Cambo first, and I had to do that two or three times because obviously that flushes all of the resentment and bitterness out of the body, so that when you do have your trip, your system is pure and that you're not going to have a trippy trip, if that makes sense. That's when I go straight to the heart of your intention. And my first mushroom trip didn't just crack me open silently. It was fucking violent. And it was
how big was the dose?
I don't know. I just know that I had blue meanies and I was seeing fucking lights and all the things. But it was really rattled me to the point that, you know, I saw the Catholic Church on how that kind of suppressed my sexuality. There, I also saw like the bullying that happened in school, the self-worth issues that we had touched on, but we hadn't done relationships anew by this stage. So right. my dad's stuff really hadn't, was only just starting to peep its head up.
Right.
You know? But again, funnily enough, like I didn't heal the relationship I had with my dad in plant medicine. I had that with the relationships anew that you did with me, you know? And I was just like, that to me was just profound because that like just dominoed and everything. Anyway, we will get back to your patient in a minute. but yeah, that was mushrooms for me. And for me, I do it every 6 months or once a year because I'm like, it just gives me a bit of a tune up to bring me back in my high vibe state or whatever. Whatever I find, you know, if I'm feeling like certain things that I'm just not happy about, like I'll just go and do that because I think that that's what I did. But I did discover Toad as well after my miscarriage. So 5-MeO-DMT is classified as the Everest of psychedelics. And I know that you guys have done this, but like this, you know, for me was probably the most scariest but most profound thing I've ever done. I experienced what it was like to die. I saw that I am everything and everything is me, and the oneness that we all are searching for. Like you can unknow that stuff. And I did that right after my miscarriage. And although a very troubling, a very tough time, I remember you calling us today, we had the miscarriage, but I did that Toad trip probably 2 days after I had the DNC, and I just couldn't get over how much I saw the miscarriage as a positive.
Oh yeah.
Like, cause I was like, oh my God, you know, but I'm just so grateful I was able to get pregnant. That's kind of how my narrative changed from, oh, I've lost the baby. It's taken us 3 years to fall pregnant. All these things, like so.
But oh, I've lost the baby is a very human thing because we think we are this physical thing.
Yeah.
When in actual fact, it's just it's all just energy. It's all just one. You know, that's the thing is that we think we are this physical body, and in actual fact, we get that there is no physical body. There's no physical form. It's all just energy. Mm-hmm. And there is no life and death.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just energy.
Transmission of energy.
Now, when I have that experience and then I come out of that experience, so I did some 5-MeO about 2 weeks ago. And in that experience, it's like, it's just so.
Beyond comprehension.
It's just like, fuck. And it's just so beautiful, you know, like it's just so, so beautiful. But when I come back in now 2 weeks in, I still have, you know, this attachment arises of my physical form and who I am and where I am and that I am this person. And am I going to miss this when I'm not here and I'm there and and then there is no here and there. And it's like, what the fuck?
You're everything. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's such a cool thing to be able to do, to go and actually have that experience afterwards, just after you've had a perceived loss, to realize it's all beautiful.
It was amazing. And to me, like and this might be very triggering for anyone that's gone on a fertility journey. I speak about it in the book, but like losing like that pregnancy that we lost, like that was probably one of the most pivotal moments where that was Kevin's call of the forest. You know, that was where he was like, you know, I was doing all the seminars, I was playing up fully, and that was where, you know, that was the line in the sand moment in our, not only our relationship, but whatever came after that in terms of the support that we perceived support that we needed to get through it and all the things. Like that was where he realized for himself he needed to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And he went and done, I didn't tell him what Toad consisted of because it would have terrified him.
Oh, he went and did 5-MeO.
Yeah. So he met at his first ever. He had Cambo. He'd done Cambo twice or three times. And then this specific person then was like, yeah, straight to Toad. I was like,
blew the top off it.
Absolutely blew him, cracked him wide open. He came back to me and he was like, this is what needed to happen for us to have our baby. I know that this is a missing piece. I know it's going to work next time.
Yeah.
And then we had embryo transfer, Sage, and that was Sage, like
there
a month later.
Go.
Yeah. So that like, and that was where.
When I found out you guys were pregnant, I was so happy for you. I really was so happy for you. But I was extremely happy for Kevin.
I don't know.
I was like, fucking, this
could
father.
See it.
You
could see it with him and the other kids really around. Magic, yeah. He would just, you know, he was just,
Some people are really meant to have children. And Kevin was fucking meant to have children. You know, it was magic.
He's the most amazing dad. Like, he really is. Like,
But you've noticed that they become a shite husband and a great father. My wife says to me all the time, you're an amazing dad, but you're a shite husband.
I can't actually say that because I'm going to be that person to say that, like, everyone looks at me and they're like, oh my God, all the things that you can do, you're like powerhouse. And I'm like, yeah, that's great, but I don't fucking cook. I don't clean. Yeah. I don't do the food shop. Yeah. Like, my husband collects my daughter, our daughter, like 1:30 every day from daycare. He starts the dinner. He does the food shop. He's very hands-on with the kids. Like, you know, so, like, this role of, like, you know, the man being the main breadwinner and the woman staying at home with the kids, like, there's parts of our family dynamic that Kevin does and that I do, like, you know, but we make it work. But I have to say that as of late, we've been very, very mindful, even around our phones, around the kids, because I don't want them growing up with this, like, intrigue about what's the phone, and I don't want them to ever feel insignificant in our company. Yeah. So we limit the phones around the kids.
I don't think people understand how big a choice that is.
It's massive.
People really, you don't realize. I was on the phone even just a couple of days ago, and I was at breakfast, and I had said I have to just do these few things, but then I was told, you know, briefly that I wasn't present, and I said, I know I'm not because I'm doing this, but I'll be back to you. Having that separation between the two really makes a difference, because people really feel your presence.
They do.
And kids particularly are just so sensitive to it, and it's so important.
But the fact that we know this stuff, like the beliefs are formed from you guys, is obviously the first 0 to 7. Yeah. You know, like, that's where the other foundational beliefs are formed. It's like, you know, we had this conversation. We're like, we don't want the girls competing for our attention or feel like the phone is pedestalized in the pit. You know, they want to feel our presence. And by default, obviously, the connection and the harmony in our house that's come from the phone. Like I'm very proud to say my screen time has reduced by 83% last week alone.
That's so nice.
You know, since we implemented this. So it's like, but my phone has always went off, but like in book launch mode and podcasts and then winning the 40 under 40 award and then the business blown up. It's just like, there's only so many hours in the day, so that the old habits started to creep in. So we done a fine, like, you know, okay, let's not have the phone. So if we do need to jump on the phone for work purposes, we leave the room. We're not on the phones around the girls. The phone comes out for a photograph of the kids around them, but that's it.
Yeah.
And honestly, the kids are just like humming, like there's harmony in our house, and the connection between me and hubby is even stronger because you have that element of presence and, you know, being connected.
Wanted
to say,
so when you said about legacy, what did you mean? Like, the book is your legacy. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, I just think that, like, you know, we are all gonna die, and I for me, legacy, like, dying was always something I was really terrified of. But the fact of the matter, I healed that through 5-MeO DMT because I knew what it was like to die. But legacy for me is like leaving something behind long after you're gone. And the fact that I, when I think of what the book will do, is that my kids will be able to pick this book up in years to come. My great-great-grandchildren will pick up this book in years to come and know who I was and what I stood for and what I've and the fire that I walked through to ensure that that didn't get handed down to them.
Right, got it.
Like, for me, that was why the book was wrote. It wasn't about, like, you. Firstly, just to say, do not make fucking money off a book. It costs you a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, your book is more about an invitation to open up opportunities for people to think differently or to get you to speak at different events and stuff like that. But, like, it was, I said yes to my book when I was fucking pregnant with Willow, like, you know, and I thought, like, you know, having my manuscript already, they would crystallize that. But for me, like, the legacy piece, I'm in my legacy era, you know, like, I don't, like, I'm raising two little girls in a chaotic world. Mm. And if we don't step up and heal ourselves, what hope do our kids have? You know, like, and that, and the change in the world that we want to see starts within ourselves. So when we start to heal, it ripples out into our family and our community and the collective field, what binds us all together. So, you know, like, the book for me was my heart and soul in paper, really, and all the things that I went through and the fire that I went through. It, in the grand scheme of my story versus another person's story, it may be very similar, but it also may not be as significant of what others went through. But again, the intention around the book is just to help people withstand life's toughest battle and show them how to walk the fire and not be afraid, you know, because, like, I've had to unlearn so many things of how I did life And things that I thought I knew, and I had to question the really deep essence of my ego and all the things that I did to try and protect myself and not touching the pain and the surrendering to control and the conditioning around schooling and all of that. Like, I had to really unravel all of that, you know. And if, what's interesting is that if we come back to personal development and human development and plant medicine and all the things that are meant to us, but that were, that helps humanity evolve as humans, mm-hmm. is not really in mainstream media.
Oh no.
Yeah, so do you want to go there?
Oh, I don't mind. Look,
you know what I mean? But yeah, it's like, that's why I'm like, this book is to leave a breadcrumb for people to think a bit differently, you know, to be like, oh, maybe, just maybe, it's not all.
Yeah, I think the veil has been dropped on all of that now, and it can't be pulled back up. Mm-hmm. You know, that ship has sailed.
Sparked a spiritual awakening across the world.
And so people, you know, it's just, you know, it's like you hear it all the time. CNN, which was like fucking Dave Ware, that was the go-to. You know, the New York Times was the most prestigious. And it's now just like, it's just junk. Like, it's just considered just propaganda. Mm-hmm. And how fantastic that they, you know, fell on their own sword. It's just, it's bonkers. Mm. So, but I think that's just part of the chaos, you know. People are very quick to go, we're in a chaotic world. I don't think we are. I think we're actually in a transformative world. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is no better time to be alive than right now. And I think no matter what is, like, people have to understand, you know, I've said to people for years, you have the discovery that you're creating your own reality, but you don't get to put that down anywhere. Mm-hmm. You don't get to put that down at Darfur. You don't get to put that down at Palestine. You don't get to put that down at Iran, Iraq. You don't get, you are the source of all of it. Mm-hmm. And, but in us understanding and in us transforming as humans and evolving as people embracing the journey inside of ourselves, we are watching the last bastion, I think, of the dark age, and we are stepping into an edge of light, an edge of awakening, an edge of, it is the dawning of a complete transformation. And we're alive, and we're able to sit here in a podcast and have that conversation.
Can I add to that? Bonkers. So when I say about the chaotic world, my point is that when you have little vulnerable people watching you, like, you have to be so mindful of the stuff that you give your energy to and the frequency that you talk about often about tuning into it. Like, so my point is that tuning into this higher vibrational frequency is also helping create humans that, like, as in helping, like, rare kids that are spiritually awakened, you know, rather than them learning from my pain, you know, because when we talk about, you know, you've often said, like, whatever you don't heal within yourself will show up in your kids, right? For you to love it because you haven't loved it within yourself. And that's a very painful part of parenting. But I don't definitely have it all figured out. But the chaos side of things is what I'm referring to, is more about, like, you know, the fact that we all have a choice on what we give our power to. Like, I have no idea what's going on in the world half the time because I choose not to, you know, like, the things that I do need to know, people will tell me. But I also believe that there's a dark part of the world that I choose not to go too far down that rabbit hole, because we still need to coexist in this, you know what I mean? In the universe. Yeah. So yeah, and in the world.
I think that dark part of the world is more about the concept of capturing our consciousness. You know, and the minute you start getting attached to that, your frontal lobe of your brain is straight into fear. You can't create when you're in fear. And that's what the whole thing is. How do we capture the consciousness of human beings? And consciousness is, like, consciousness, is, its job is to attach to anything that's going to prolong it through life. Consciousness, you know, I was listening to some stuff earlier this year where they were talking about artificial intelligence, but they were talking about droids, and they were talking about, you know, could we just be a more evolved form of droid? You know, we go from a physical metal silicon, but consciousness is just attaching itself all of the time because it just wants to, its objective is to stay alive. It doesn't live in the land of good or bad or pleasure, pain or happy or sad. But if we want to maintain the power, how do we do that? Well, you have to capture the consciousness of people. And the best way to capture the consciousness of people is to make them afraid.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I really feel and I really see that people are becoming very aware of that. So the less less we, the more we focus on what it is we're here to do, the less that they're able to capture your consciousness. So just focus on what it is you're here to do. No matter what the battleground, focus on what it is you're here to do.
Stop comparing yourself to everyone. Like, stop scrolling, doom scrolling and be like, how are they doing that? And comparing yourself and pedestalizing. Yep. Don't start your day looking at your fucking phone and social media.
Yeah.
Like, strong boundaries how we hijacked, really.
Yeah. And I mean, a good place to look, if you want to see if you're on track, a good place to look actually is your feed. It'll tell you whatever's coming up is going to tell you where your fucking mindset is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm, you know, I when I look at my feed, like, you know, it's not tragedy and death and murder. It's inspiring videos. It's, you know, videos of human transformation, you know, and conscious intelligence, all that sort of stuff. Because there is a portion of society that are too into, you know, they're too, oh, you know, we're all going to be da-da-da-da-da. And you don't want to be a fucker at the end of all this that's holding onto your singing bowl with your chimes and your fucking incense and thinking, what the fuck just happened? You know, we have to take responsibility.
100%. It's the most radical. It's the greatest form of self-love you can commit to, is taking radical responsibility, 100%. You know, for everything that you are and every, the good, the bad, the shadow, it's all the things.
Greatest form of empowerment. Okay, we've been chatting a while, so we probably need, I know we all have commitments to get to after this, but I really want to ask you a question and hopefully we can maybe sort of finish up on this. For you, Sonia, your process, your journey has taken you to a place where you have physically become a mum. Mm-hmm. So you've got two beautiful girls and you have been taken to that place where the thing that you were looking for materialized in the physical world. Can you speak to your realizations about what would happen had you not become a mum, like had you not given birth, and what you say to the people who are either still going on their journey or have maybe completed their journey without the physical children in the picture?
Yeah, absolutely. The only way, the penny drop moment, I think, or the mic drop moment, if you want to say, in my journey was owning the parts of myself where I am a mom. So embodying the characteristics within myself, whether that be a fur mom, whether that be a mompreneur, as in building an incredible business, like requires the characteristics of a mom to birth a business is massive. To birth a book is massive. But to birth anything creative, that all embodies that archetype of mother. And that actually is something that came up through my trip. And that was also something that you guys said to me before I understood it. As in you guys said it to me first as the breadcrumb, and then I experienced it in my intention in a plant medicine trip. And it came up in 5-MeO-DMT too, that it was that it doesn't matter whether I am a mom or not, like physically, I am a mom in the way I care as a daughter, as a sister, in all the ways that I show up in life. I embody the archetype of mother.
Beautiful.
And I think when you can see that there's nothing missing, well, then the pressure I put on that poor soul to come into the light, into the world, that if you come, it was a scarcity mentality. Yeah. And when you are like trying to manifest from scarcity mentality, if you think about like, if it was to have happened when I wanted it to happen, I think about the life that soul would have had, and they could have been forever indebted.
Yeah.
They could have forever felt indebted for my happiness, you know, and that they were like, you know, that nobody wants to be born into the world feeling like they owe somebody something and they're responsible for somebody's happiness. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately the signal and the frequency I was giving off, really, in the journey. And until I could actually own the part of myself that I was a mom, and owning the part of myself where I was playing small, and owning the shadow, both the good and the bad of sides of myself, was when I became a whole person. And to bring a baby earthside requires you to be in a high vibe state, not a low frequency state. And that was what the ultimate journey of at having my babies were about, was coming home to myself.
You have to kind of show up there as if it's already happened.
But the only way you can do that is if it has already happened.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, there's a lot of people around me at the moment that have spoken into, because there are a few people I've found have just fallen pregnant recently who had been looking to fall pregnant. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things that I will work with personally with somebody who's on that journey is helping them to understand that they're already a mum, exactly like you've said.
Yeah.
Because if you understand that you're already a mum, that you have all those qualities and characteristics, that you display them in different areas of your life, then exactly like you said, the pressure that you would have put on a child to come into the world, to have that experience where they become your reason for living, and that they're the only, that's just so much pressure for a kid to
handle. But if I think about it, if I come back to my why, right, I wanted to be able to work around my kids, yeah?
Yeah.
I got exactly how I asked for, just not in the package.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, if I was to have the baby straight after the wedding, there's no way, me and Kevin only spoke about it last night, can you imagine? We wouldn't be the people we are today. We wouldn't have the marriage that we have. I wouldn't have the business. I wouldn't have fucking felt compelled to birth this body of work into the world. You know, I wouldn't have had a greater reason to change, you know. And sometimes in our darkest moments, they are our greatest gifts. But when you're in the pain and when you're in the shit, it never makes sense. It only makes sense when you're out of it looking backwards. And that is 100%. The reason why I felt compelled to share this book, because none of the chaos in my life ever made sense when I was in it. But I can tell you the lessons that have come from those hard times is what most people go through as well in different forms, you know. And nobody gets out of life unscathed, whether it's a fertility journey, whether it's a loss, whether it's something traumatic that happens, you know. The first thing we want to do is run from the pain. But what if we didn't have to run and we could train ourselves to withstand the battle like a warrior? Because you know, that is what it is, you know? So, yeah, so that is, that's why this book exists, you know?
What's your biggest lesson in writing it, do you think?
Don't fucking write a book. Well, don't actually launch a book 9 months after having your second baby. It's a lot. It's an awful lot. I think I thought the fact that I had my 80,000 word manuscript done and that they were helping me bring it together, that was the easy part.
Yeah.
Like, I signed off on the cover of this book when I was going in to have Willow.
Right.
Like, and, you know, when I think about, like, the whole process of marketing this book, because the only reason why it sells off the shelves is because of the marketing behind it. And then being a marketer, not being able to market your book, you look like a bit of a lunatic, like, you know, as in, like, you know, it kind of really tests your skill set.
Yeah.
But the marketing of it all really, really was full on. But when I also talk about the book side of things as well, like, books don't sell themselves either, you know, like they are, like, this is a $35 book. I've probably spent close to $350,000 on personal development, and it's all in this book. you know, like that, and that's just the reality of the thing. Like, we're in launch mode. So since the 30th of April it hit shelves, I have a commitment with all the bookstores across Australia and New Zealand that they're going to keep it in the store until the 30th of July.
Right.
But if the book doesn't sell past the 30th of July, they have permission to send it back and shred the books.
Right.
Because it's easier to shred them. And I'm just like, bitch, buy my fucking book. Yeah. You know, so like, gift it to somebody. If somebody's on a healing journey, give them the book. You know, they might just learn something about themselves. So they might be curious to do more work with you guys as well, you know.
Yeah. So where can people find the book? Where's the best places for them to go?
Dimmicks, across Australia and New Zealand. Dimmicks, it's in QBD Books. It's in WH Smith. Simon & Schuster are the main publisher behind it. So they distribute the books globally. It's going to be in Ireland soon, in the bookshelves in Easton's. It's on Amazon.
Eason?
Did I say Amazon? Or did
I
say
Eason's. No, I'm just thinking.
Oh, I'm like, sorry,
Dublin.
Or is that?
I'm like,
no, Eason's. Eason's,
yeah. Eason's, yeah. And it's.
Are you going back to Ireland to speak on it?
I don't know yet. Like, everyone's like, oh, you know, do you want to do an event? And I'm like, I don't fucking want to do no fucking events. I'm a bait from the events. But I'll happily do a Zoom call, no problem. What I was going to say was that, it's on Amazon as well. You can buy from anywhere in the world. It's in the US as well. It's gone to number one bestseller in 7 categories.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, mate.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
And thank you guys for putting me on the straight and narrow and giving me the kicks in the fucking head.
Well, we appreciate the shout out in the book as well. That's really
awesome. I'm all about, like, you have to pay for it, but you also have to pay respect for the people that helped you get to those places, you know, because... you know, I just think there is a lot of people that can just claim that, oh, I've done this all myself, and I actually haven't. There's a whole army of people.
Well, you have, but you've had people in your corner.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you did it, but you've had the right people in your corner across the board.
And it's the integration piece as well, you know, and the integration piece is where the magic has happened. Mm. So thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us again, Sonia. I'm sure you'll be back.
I'm sure I will.
When you do the next
book. I'm a TED Talker, when I'm on the, what's the big show in the US?
And you could be on the Joe Rogan Experience, buddy.
I was about to say,
Come on with Jobles.
Yes, I will be. I'll pitch myself soon, don't worry.
All right, buddy, good job. Let's get out of here.
Thank you. Cheers.